Good evening. I'm thankful to be with you this evening, and I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be studying Hebrews chapter 1 this evening and, Lord willing, next week. We're going to look, I believe, at a lesson that will help all of us appreciate the words that have been spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin to look at this section of Scripture, I want to begin with what the Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we see that the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 22, the Lord says to Moses, "You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." I like what the Lord told Moses, and I like what we see here in Hebrews chapter 1, because it reminds us that we serve a God who communicates to His children. Now, if you think about what that would be like, that is, if God didn't communicate, we would be left in the dark. We would be left in the dark as to where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. But we see that the God of heaven indeed has spoken. He has communicated to mankind. And I believe that is one of the greatest truths that we find in the Bible. God has spoken. We learn in Psalm 118, verse number 89, that His Word comes from heaven. His Word has been settled in heaven. And so as we look at God's Word, really we're looking at heaven's vocabulary. We're looking at the very inspired Word of God. Notice how Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 begins. God. And as you look at what is being revealed here about God in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that God is the originator of Scripture. God is the one that has spoken to mankind. Now, as you go on and read Hebrews chapter 1, the writer, verse 1, is showing us how God has spoken. We see God who at sundry times, that is, old times, and in divers manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We appreciate the prophets. God spoke by the prophets. There are various ways that God spoke in the Old Testament. He spoke to the prophets through dreams and through various visions. He used His creation at times to communicate His message to the prophets, and the prophets would reveal that message to the people. In Hosea chapter 12, verse number 10, we see that God's people had no excuse to be ignorant because God says, "I have spoken by the prophets." We read about Amos and Joel and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. We see that God spoke to those prophets, and those prophets communicated God's message in different ways. But as we continue to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we see that the writer is making a contrast. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." And you see that contrast, and that contrast is obvious. In the last days is speaking of the Christian dispensation that began in Acts chapter 2 when the Lord's church was established, when the apostles received the Holy Spirit and they preached the fullness of the gospel for the first time. We are living in the last days. During this last dispensation, under the new covenant, we learn that God speaks through His Son. By the way, you may circle the word Son, and that would also include His delegated apostles. Jesus taught His apostles in John 16, verse number 7, "It's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. And so here in verse 2, as we're learning about how God speaks to us, He speaks to us through His Son and through His delegated apostles who were guided into all truth. We have God's final words in Jesus Christ. There's not going to be additional revelation. I realize there are some in the religious world that still claim that they are receiving revelation from God, but that contradicts what we see here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. We see that God reveals His Word through His Son. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now as we think about this contrast, really what the writer is doing in the book of Hebrews is establishing the superiority of Jesus Christ. We see in old times, God spoke by the prophets. But we see now, God speaks to us through His Son. The writer again is showing that Christ is superior to the prophets. And Jesus has the right to speak. Jesus has the right to communicate to mankind. And as you go through the book of Hebrews, the writer is encouraging us to pay careful attention to Jesus Christ. That's not to say that we don't listen to the prophets. We learn so much from the prophets. But we need to listen to Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at the first spoken, the writer says, by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard them. Again, we're encouraged to listen to Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse number 15. Today, if you will hear His voice. We see many of these Christians in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, were dull of hearing. In the original language, they stopped hearing. No longer were their ears open to the words of Jesus. They stopped their ears. They weren't listening. They were dull of hearing. They became apathetic. And the writer is rebuking them, as you can see in Hebrews 5, verse 11, because of their immaturity. But then you continue to read in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, you see this throughout the book of Hebrews. He is a mediator, speaking about Jesus. Jesus Christ is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And so the new covenant is being emphasized throughout the book of Hebrews. Jesus and the new covenant is superior to the old covenant. And we need to pay careful attention to what Jesus Christ is saying in the new covenant. As you think about the book of Hebrews, to me a great background to this can be found in Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 5. Now in Matthew 17, 1 through 5, you have the Mount Transfiguration. And remember, we see that Elijah and Moses was there with the Lord. And when Peter says that, you remember he wants to build three tabernacles, one for the Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But that's not what God wanted. No, you go on and read, and the Father says this about His Son to Peter. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And that's what we want to emphasize tonight, and Lord willing, next week. We need to listen to Jesus. But I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 1. I was looking at this the other day, And there are several approaches you can take as you begin reading Hebrews chapter 1. You can see and establish that Jesus was superior than the prophets. Chapters 1, 1 through 3. He's superior to angels. And the writer will continue that subject, beginning at verse number 4, going all the way through the chapter, and then he picks up in chapter 2, verse 5, continuing to talk about the superiority that Jesus has over angels. And as you think about how Christ was superior to the prophets, and how Christ was superior to angels, we can see various ways. We can see how Christ was superior. But there's also another approach you can take as you look at Hebrews chapter 1. And that's the approach that we're talking about. We need to listen to Jesus. And the writer, beginning here in chapter 1, verse number 2, gives us several reasons all the way through chapter 1. We'll be looking at those reasons tonight, Lord willing, next week, going into chapter 2. Why we need to listen to Jesus. And we'll make the application at the end why we need to listen to Jesus. But first of all, we have to establish why. And the writer gives those, by inspiration, reasons why we should listen to Jesus. We should listen to Jesus, going back to Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse number 2, because of His heirship. We should listen to Jesus because of His heirship. And I want you to begin with me in verse number 2, as we've already read. Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Here's the first point. Spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed, listen to it, heir of all things. The fact that He is heir shows His supremacy. Again, He is the heir of all things. To be heir is a natural consequence of sonship. Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, He is heir of all things. Now, when we listen to Jesus, who is the heir of all things, we learn in Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Notice that application. We should listen to Jesus because of His heirship, which suggests His supremacy, His superiority over all of creation, which also denotes His sonship. And because Jesus is heir of all things, when we listen to Jesus, when we obey Jesus, Romans 8 verse 17 teaches us that we are, and I love it, joint heirs with Christ. Because of Jesus, that simply means this. We can become sons and daughters because of Jesus. Because He is willing to share that blessing. He is heir of all things, but we become joint heirs through Him. We can become God's children. As the Apostle John would say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And what a privilege it is to be here tonight, to be called a son, a daughter of God. It's a privilege that we have only through Jesus. And that's why we need to listen to Jesus. And that's why we need to obey Jesus, because of His heirship. Notice a second reason from the same verse why we need to listen to Jesus. Number two, because of His creatorship. Because of His heirship, because of His creatorship, look at verse number 2, whom He hath also made the worlds. You know, a lot of times when we go back to the book of Genesis, in the beginning God created, and a lot of times we think just about God the Father who created all of this world. But in the Hebrew, the word God is in its plural form. It's in its plural form. What does that mean? It means this. The Godhead was active in creation. The Godhead, also sometimes described as the Trinity. I think it's interesting that people use the term Trinity, and I understand what people are saying, but the Bible never uses the word Trinity, but the Bible does use the word Godhead. And the Godhead is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we learn that the Godhead was active in creating this world. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in Colossians 1 verse number 16, along with Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, we see that Jesus was an active agent in creation. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "By Him," that is by Christ, "all things were created." Why should we pay careful attention to what Jesus has to say? Why should we pay careful attention to the new covenant that was sealed in the very blood of Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. Because Jesus has the right to speak. And we see that because of His heirship. We also see that because of His creatorship. But notice number 3. We should listen to Jesus, number 3, beginning in verse number 3, because of His radiant glory. Because of His radiant glory, listen to what the writer says, "who being," speaking about Jesus, "who being the brightness of His glory." Jesus, as no other, exhibits the radiant glory of God. Now, how do you wrap your mind around that? The radiant glory of God. The only way I know how to do that is by allowing the Scriptures to explain that. To describe the radiant glory of God. We can do that by turning to John chapter 8, verse number 12. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus says these words, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus is the light of lights. And through Him, we can become children of light. As you think about Jesus being the radiant glory of God, being the light of lights, it reminds me of what the Apostle John says about God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And Jesus, Jesus here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, is the brightness of His glory. Again, speaking about the radiant glory of God. This gives Jesus the right to speak. And this is why we should listen to Him. Because of that radiant glory. And again, when we listen to Jesus, we become light. We are able to escape darkness. In fact, we learn in Colossians 1 verse number 13 that when we obey Jesus, we're delivered from the power of darkness, from the realm of darkness, and we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That kingdom is also known as the kingdom of light. But as you continue to look at verse number 3, we see a fourth reason why we should listen to Jesus. Number 4, because of His being. Look at verse number 3. The express image of His person. While Jesus is not the Father, in Him resides all of the qualities that make God, God. Jesus isn't the Father. But here we see He is the express image of His person. As I said, when you look at verses like this, the express image of His person, sometimes it's hard for our minds to really understand exactly what is being said. But when we go to other verses of the Bible shed light on passages like this. As we think about the express image, this is all about Jesus, who is the express image of His person. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, "For in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of God." That means that Jesus possessed those characteristics of God. Jesus was eternal. Jesus was omniscient. Jesus was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. He was all-knowing because He was God. We're looking at reasons for why we should listen to Jesus. We should listen to Jesus because of His being, the express image of His person. Jesus was God. And John brings this out in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh. But when Jesus became a man, when the Word was made flesh, He didn't empty Himself of those qualities that made Him God. He was God in the flesh. 100% God, 100% man. That's why we refer to Jesus as the God-man. Again, the express image of His person, His being. Why should we listen to Jesus? Still there in verse number 3. Because of His admiration. Notice this. And upholding all things by the word of His power. A powerful verse indeed. He supports all things by the word of His power. You know, when you look at creation, as you hear that thunder, that beautiful sound in the background, when we see the rain, when we see the sun, creation demonstrates the power of God's Word. Because when we look at God's Word, we see how God created this world. He didn't do just some magical thing. No, He spoke this world into existence. Again, which denotes His power and the power of His Word. Again, all things are upheld by the Word of His power. You see, the various parts of the physical universe are not held together merely by laws of nature. These laws of nature that we know are His laws. They're His laws. And that's how God governs, and that's how God regulates this universe, by the word of His power. We should listen to Jesus because of His being, because of His admiration. But continue to read with me there in verse number 3. When He, speaking of Jesus, when He had by Himself purged our sins. We should listen to Jesus because of His sacrifice. He is the one that made purification for our sins. We learn that Jesus Christ is our High Priest. And as our High Priest, the one that goes to God on our behalf, you remember our bridge builder? He is also the one that provided the sacrifice, so that you and I can approach God. He is the one that died for us, according to 1 Peter 3, verse number 18. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. As you think about 1 Peter 3, verse number 18, it really fits the idea of Jesus being our High Priest, the one that builds that bridge, the one that brings us to God. That's why we should listen to Jesus, because He is the only one that can bring us to the Father. In John 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." As you read the book of Hebrews, the writer puts great emphasis on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how the book opens up. And the writer continues to expound upon the sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was superior. There were sacrifices under the old law, and those sacrifices were offered every year. Reminds us of the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. But when we read about Jesus, our high priest, you know how many sacrifices He offered? He offered, and this is seen in the book of Hebrews, verbatim, one sacrifice. Because it was a perfect sacrifice, He offered one sacrifice and He sat down on the right hand of God. That brings us to our next point. We should listen to Jesus, Hebrews 1 verse 3, because He purged our sins, because of His sacrifice. But another reason why we should listen to Jesus, because of His exaltation. Because of His exaltation, notice with me, verse number 3, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We don't read about angels. By the way, in verse 4, we begin to read about angels. We don't read about angels sitting down at the right hand of God. But we read about Jesus, who sat down on the right hand of God, which denotes honor, which denotes dignity, which denotes power. Do you see why we should listen to Jesus? The one who is at the right hand of God. The one who is at the right hand of God is Brother Sam led us in prayer, reminding us that is mediating on our behalf. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, we learn about Jesus, our mediator, our daysman. Something that Job longed for. He longed for a daysman, an umpire, a mediator. One that would be able to represent Him before God, what Job longed for. You and I have through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to listen to Jesus. And then the last point that I want to look at tonight from verse number 4, and as I said, Lord willing, there are five more points that I want to look at next week for why we should listen to Jesus from Hebrews chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2. But think about this last point, and the lesson will be yours. Why do we need to listen to Jesus? I want to end on this point because it's a beautiful point. Because of His name. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because of His name. Look at verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained, listen to it, a more excellent name. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son? Quoting from Psalm 2, verse number 7, This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, quoting from 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, and he shall be to me a son. This has to do with the relationship that Jesus had with His Father, and then also the first part of verse 6. And again, when He bringeth in, speaking about Jesus, when He, God the Father, bringeth in the first begotten, speaking of Jesus. Now, I want you to make a mental note here. The first begotten. This is where sometimes people will get off course here, if you please. First begotten doesn't have to do with His origin. This particular word, first begotten, has to do with a relationship that Jesus had with the Father. You see, some will come to this verse and say, well, see, Jesus isn't God because He was a created being. He is the first begotten. But that's not what that particular word means. That's not how this Greek word is used in the Greek language. It's used to speak of a relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And more specifically, it is speaking of His incarnation. The word becoming flesh. And by the way, when we get into chapter 2, chapter 2 talks about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. The Word became a man to offer a sacrifice on our behalf. And that made Him the captain of our eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 10. But we can see why we need to listen to Jesus. Because of His name. He was given the name Son. Remember how we started? We notice at the beginning, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus was given a great name, uniquely, individually. Only Jesus is called Son. And that's why we should listen to Jesus. The application is very simple. The way that we listen to Jesus will determine where we spend eternity. As I said at the very beginning, oh, how we need to listen to Jesus. Jesus said in His own words in John 12, verse number 48, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Why do we need to listen to Jesus? As Peter said in John 6, verse number 68, Jesus has the words of eternal life. And you and I can have eternal life when we obey the words of Jesus. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. I hope this lesson tonight will cause you to think a little deeper why we should listen to Jesus. There are many more reasons that we can list. But here from Hebrews chapter 1, there are several reasons that we see in inspiration why we need to open our ears to the words of Jesus. The lesson is yours. Tonight, if we can help you become a better Christian in any way to be more like Jesus, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.